testimony, friends, we have of Jesus. God raised him up, but it was not possible for him to be held by death. Raised from the dead because he could not be held by it. This morning we will meditate on the Gospel of Mark's account of Jesus' resurrection. So if you have a Bible, please feel free to open to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. We'll read verses 1 through 8. Mark's account of the resurrection centers on two women, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Solomon. Mark tells the story of Jesus' resurrection, really starting in verse 40, from their perspective. They're there at the crucifixion as Jesus is lifted up, and they're there as Jesus is laid in the tomb in Mark 15, verse 47. And it's there that we then pick up these two women heading to the tomb after the Sabbath had passed in verse 1 of Mark 16. So let's read, starting in verse 1 of Mark 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Solomon, bought the spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Let's pray for the Lord's help in understanding his word. Father, thank you that Jesus is alive. As we consider briefly this morning this account of his resurrection from the Gospel of Mark, may your Spirit help us to understand with greater depth and greater joy of all the implications of Jesus being alive. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, one of the most unexpected movie endings happened almost 42 years ago on May 21st, 1980. When Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, was released into movie theaters. This was the second movie in the now well-known franchise. You probably know of it, but in the climatic moments of this movie, Luke Skywalker has a lightsaber duel with Darth Vader. And the first two movies had been building up to this moment. Luke has been told that Vader has killed his father, and so you feel his hatred and the longing to defeat Vader building. And so this lightsaber duel is climactic. It's Luke's chance to finally avenge his father. But the duel ends, and Luke's hand has been cut off, and Vader is trying to persuade Luke to join him in ruling the galaxy, and he reveals this iconic line that we all know, "Luke, I am your father." Everything Luke, and for our purposes, the audience had been thinking, was flipped on its head with that line. I've heard there were audible gasps in the theater when Vader said that. Mark Hamill, who played Luke Skywalker, revealed that most of the cast and crew did not know that Vader was Luke's father until the movie was released. It was, in every sense of the word, unexpected, astounding, shocking, a twist of twist. Yet for us today, that ending has lost its shock. Even my wife, who had never seen Star Wars before a couple of years ago, knew who Darth Vader was. And for so many of us this morning, the resurrection of Jesus has much in the same way lost its astoundingness, its shockingness. We talk about the resurrection so much that we are no longer amazed by it. Well, everything about this passage in Mark is unexpected. the initial witnesses being women, the empty tomb, the angel who announces, the responses of the woman in fear and fleeing, the abruptness of the ending of the gospel. It is astounding, shocking. Many of us prefer the other accounts of the resurrection than this difficult account because it is so unexpected. Yet it is in the unexpected nature of this account that we find confirmation that Jesus is alive. In fact, that's our big idea this morning. The one thing that I would want us to take away is that the unexpected responses at Jesus' tomb confirm that he is alive. The unexpected responses at Jesus' tomb confirm that he is, in fact, alive. We can be confident that this was not some elaborate scheme by Jesus and his disciples to deceive the world. No, in the unexpected nature of Mark's account, we are reminded with fresh vividness how astounding and how amazing the miracle of the resurrection truly is. But not only are we reminded with freshness of the glorious miracle that is the resurrection, we are forced to consider how we are to respond. We see the responses of the women and they shock us. But how have we responded to Jesus' resurrection? Well, we'll spend the rest of our time just briefly walking through this passage, considering how the women felt as they approached, entered, and fled the tomb, beginning with their approach. So as the women approach the tomb, they are anticipating a closed tomb. They're anticipating a closed tomb. Our account begins on the first day of the week, Sunday, when the Sabbath was passed. This would have been early Sunday morning, just as the sun had risen. And these two women, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Solomon, had come to anoint the body of Jesus. That's what these spices are for. And so they bring these to really, in one last way, give honor to Jesus. They had spent so much of the last 3 years following him. And so this was really, in one sense, a final act of being able to honor him, to embalm his corpse. And they're walking. And they're really just walking and wondering aloud, who will roll this stone away from the grave, from the tomb? It was covered by this large stone that had to be rolled in front and rolled from it. And so they did not think they could move it. Well, everything about these first three verses reveals that the women had no hope that Jesus would be alive when they got to the tomb. They approached with full anticipation that Jesus would be dead, overwhelmed with grief and sorrow. They're not expecting a miracle. They're expecting the natural. They anticipated a closed tomb with a dead body inside. But should they have been expecting a miracle? Should they have gone to buy spices when the Sabbath was over? Or should they have just run over to the tomb when sun broke? See, they anticipated a closed tomb, but they should have been believing Jesus would rise from the dead. For he told them three times throughout the Gospel of Mark that he would rise from the dead. We see one of those in Mark 8, verse 31 and 32. And Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. See, Jesus plainly told them what was going to happen. You know, at times we've considered even in the Gospel of Matthew how Jesus' teaching was not always plain. He often taught in parables to in part hide the meaning from those who didn't believe in him. But here he taught plainly that he would die and rise again. Yet Peter responds by rebuking Jesus. Well, what does this reveal about Peter and the disciples? It reveals they didn't understand or believe that what Jesus was saying about him rising again. And again, that's clear as they approach the tomb. The disciples remain away from the tomb. The women come just to embalm a corpse, wondering how they would remove the stone. They did not believe Jesus had risen. Now, it's easy for us to look back on that account and say, "Foolish disciples. Shouldn't you have known? Jesus said he was going to rise again." But we too are slow to believe Jesus has risen from the dead. You and I often live in such a way that reflects a practical unbelief in the resurrection. Even if we profess faith in the resurrection, we can often live not with great anticipation that our Savior is alive and that we will see him again. But we can be consumed by the matters of the world with worldliness and busyness. We often can live as if Jesus is still dead and all that matters is what is in front of us. We can be slow to believe that Jesus can raise dead hearts. And so rather than boldly proclaiming the gospel, we hold it in. We can be slow to think God is able to free us from whatever sin still holds sway over us. We consider ourselves stuck in sin. But Paul in Romans 6 will say, if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Friends, this morning believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. Don't live anticipating a closed tomb. Live with the great anticipation that our Savior is alive and he will return one day to bring about the final resurrection. Well, our account goes on. As the women approach the tomb, they look up and they see that the stone has not been rolled away. And they begin to enter the tomb there in verse 5. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him." They approached the tomb anticipating that it was closed, but they entered the tomb alarmed that it was empty. I think alarmed here is a hopeful translation of the Greek word. The idea is that they were amazed with terror, overwhelmed with emotions of both astonishment, where is Jesus, and terror. What does this mean for us? But it's in their alarmness, in their amazed with terrorness, that the young man speaks. Do not be alarmed. This young man is dressed in a white robe. The other accounts tell us that this is an angel. And the angel says, have no fear. Do not be terrified. Why? Because the one whom they seek, the one who was crucified and died, is no longer dead. He is alive. As Acts 2 said, Jesus could not be held by death. It has no power over him. And therefore, the disciples need not fear. The angel here even calls them to look at where Jesus was laid because he's no longer there. Right? This is not a great deception. The angel's not standing in front of the tomb saying, "Nope, don't look in. Just believe me. He's alive. He's not in there." No, he's able to point right to where Jesus was laying and said, "He is not there." The angel announces the reality that we now proclaim. Death has been defeated. He is risen. He is not here. And so today we need not remain alarmed. No, something unique and supernatural has happened in the resurrection. We ought to be joyful. Friends, your greatest need has been met in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We were destined for death. Even our Savior lay in the bond of death, slain for our offenses. But Jesus arose a victor from the dark domain. He arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He hath brought us life again. The keys of death and hell are now given to Jesus Christ. He has taken his seat above. His kingdom cannot fail. And so we have every reason this morning to rejoice, to, as we've sung already, lift up our hearts and our voices this morning and every day with joy, because Jesus is not there in the tomb. Do you live with joy in this life? This kind of joy? Is your joy reflective of your confidence that Jesus has risen from the dead? Well, the angel's words continue with a command to go with confidence. But the women respond by, by fleeing in fear. So if they should have been not anticipating a closed tomb, but an empty tomb, and they should have not responded with alarmedness, but they should have responded with joy. We come then to another unexpected response, and probably the most unexpected response. They flee the tomb in fear. Look at verse 7. The angel tells them, "But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb. For trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. I think that the original Gospel of Mark ended there. That what you have there, where it says some of the earliest manuscripts do not include this section, was added afterwards to kind of help offset the kind of awkwardness and abruptness of the ending here. Women fleeing afraid, saying nothing to anyone, Mark says. The angel tells the women to go, that Jesus will meet them just as he told you. This is good news. An angel has revealed that not only Jesus is alive, but now the women and the disciples will be able to see him again. But they respond running, not back to the disciples to tell them, fleeing with trembling and astonishment. We read that they remained silent, at least in this account and initially. We know from later accounts and other accounts that they did not remain silent. But Mark's point is they run away in fear. He's highlighting their fear, their trembling, their astonishment. And this is not uncommon in Mark's gospel. One Christian author observed, in Mark's gospel, fear is always the response to the breaking in of the power of God. See, when Jesus speaks and causes the wind to cease in Mark 4, and the storm calms, we read the disciples were filled with great fear. When Jesus heals the demon-possessed man, we read the people are afraid. When Jesus taught of his crucifixion and rejection and resurrection, the disciples were afraid and astonished. And so the fear that the women experience here that Mark tells us of, the trembling and astonishment that marks their response, is a clear marker by the author that the power of God is on display. It has broken into our world. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. It's confirming to us that the resurrection is a supernatural work, a work that only God can do, and a work that is confirmed by the very fear that is unexpected. And with that, the story's over. We aren't told whether the Marys speak. It ends abruptly and unexpectedly. Well, the unexpected ending of Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, became a turning point of one of the greatest movie franchises of all time. But I imagine that even some of you here don't care or have seen that movie. It didn't demand a response from every one of us. But friends, the unexpected ending of Mark's gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus, is the turning point of all of history. Every person, knowingly or unknowingly, is affected by Jesus' resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus demands a response from us. The first witnesses did not know how to respond. They're seized with fear and trembling because the power of God was breaking in such a unique and supernatural way. And so they're seized. And we're left wondering how they would respond to this. But friends, this morning, I wonder, how will you respond this morning to Jesus' resurrection? Respond in faith and repentance, trusting in Jesus, confirmed that he is alive? Or will you turn and flee? Let's pray. Father, what great assurance we have this morning in the unexpected nature of Mark's account. we have affirmation that Jesus is alive. Father, we thank you that Jesus' resurrection means that we are no longer enslaved to sin, but we are alive in Christ through faith. And Lord, I pray that we would be assured even this morning again with fresh vividness and astonishment that Jesus, our Savior, is not dead. He is not here, but has risen. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.